The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. And then it continues, lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, O you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty is the King of glory. And we'll look at that phrase in a few moments. We're going to sing again. Psalm 24. We've been looking in our church at the names of God, and we're going to just look at one of those tonight, as I've indicated. Looking at the names of God and their meaning and our response to that. And Psalm 24 ends up, as we've said on a few occasions already this evening, who is he, this King of glory, the Lord Almighty? He is the King of glory. And we're just going to look briefly at what the significance is of God being Almighty and what it means for us today, and whether it means anything or nothing. And you make up your own minds about that, won't you? It's not for me to decide what you want to think about it. I'm going to put something in front of you, and then you can decide what you like. So what are the names? Names are interesting. What do they mean? And you've probably, I don't know, looked at your own name, and what does it mean? Barry was a hard one to find. I couldn't find that very easy. Head or something or other, or you had some other bits that I won't mention. Rosemary was Dew of the Sea, I think. What about Peter? Straightforward as a rock. That's straightforward. Daniel, we have a son called Daniel, which means God is my judge. Anybody got their names? Know what they mean? What does Wilf mean? Anything special? Hedge cutter? Anybody know what their names mean? No. Can't remember. It's funny how it goes, isn't it? Now, we got twins as well, as some of you may know. One's called Matthew, one's called Nathan. Unbeknown to us, they both mean gift of God in different languages. So that was quite significant, and we have to remind ourselves of that occasionally. one's in Hebrew and one's in Greek or something. I'm not quite sure what the language are. But it was interesting that having the twins, and they both had the same meaning, the same name. Noah, do you know what Noah means? Rest, apparently. I think, poor bloke, that didn't really work out for him, did it? He didn't have a lot of rest. Emmanuel, we sung that a couple of times tonight, and you'll be familiar with that, I'm sure. God with us. John. Interesting, isn't it? Do you know what John means? It could be, I suppose, but it's God is gracious. That's the term I've seen. So, and some names may seem appropriate for the people involved, and some may not fit the character of those involved. So God Almighty, El Shaddai in Hebrew, or Pantocratorus is the nearest we could find in Greek. It's not used very much in the New Testament at all. And Pantocratorus is God of heaven. Now, I bring that in because Sherborne is linked with a town in Greece called Preveza, and they have a castle there called Pantocratorus. And I've been there, so I can remember that one. But there's not many names that I do remember. And we can read about the Lord Almighty in various ways. Mainly in Genesis, there's quite a bit in Job, There's a bit in the Psalms and there's a little bit in the New Testament, but it's not as prevalent as I thought it was going to be. I thought it would be all over the place. But we read in Genesis 1, I am the Lord Almighty, when he's speaking to Abraham. And then Abraham has his name changed to Abraham because he becomes the father of many nations, as you know. And Abram means exalted father, whereas Abraham means father of many. So his offspring, there were lots of them as we know and still are, and many nations were formed because of Abraham. And this happened because of El Shaddai, God Almighty. The Lord Almighty said it would happen, that you would be the father of many nations. And it did happen. Because if God promises, if the Lord Almighty promises, it will come to pass. And so what did he call his son Isaac? What did that mean? Well, obviously he called his son Isaac, but what did Isaac mean? Laughter. Because what a joke. I'm 99. I'm going to have a child. You're joking. So he called his son Laughter. And so it's interesting to look at the meaning of names. And one of the names of God, and there's lots of names of God that we can look at. El Shaddai means God Almighty. And it comes through in the Old Testament and somewhat, especially in Revelation. Almighty means all powerful. Power to do everything. Unlimited power, all-sufficient one. And John Piper says the name Almighty implies that God has all the might he needs to do anything he wants to do. That's reasonably straightforward, I think. This is where we get omnipotent from, God being almighty, all-powerful. So should we be afraid of him if he's all-powerful? Well, perhaps we should be. But Psalm 91, as we read earlier, right at the beginning, indicates that there is an area there where he wants us to bless. He wants to bless us and to be with us. And we should be afraid of him if we're doing something wrong, he also wants to be close to us and bring us a blessing. And so we have both sides of him in that way. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God whom I trust. And it says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and deliver him and honor him with long life and satisfy him. So there's all sorts there. We should have reverence and respect and be aware of how powerful God is. But he also wants to have a relationship with us through Jesus. And we can do that through the Holy Spirit. I was surprised not to find, as I said, lots of quotes about God Almighty. And quite a few of them are in Genesis and quite a few of them are in Job, as I said. And Job, as we will probably know, he had a bit of a rough ride at times. And yet he still says about the Lord Almighty, and his friends say about the Lord Almighty. And David says it too in Samuel. So the Lord Almighty is there, and we need to be aware of that. Even when things are not going well, people referred to God as God Almighty. I got some water here. You all right? Yeah, Revelation tells us a little bit as well, right at the end. So we got bits at the beginning of Genesis, and we got bits at the end. Right at the end, we can read about God being almighty. When it says, and then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder and shouting, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. So we have it at the beginning, we have it at the end. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. So the Lord Almighty is there at the end and the beginning. But there's not so much in the middle about that. And yet we have the life of Jesus that we can look at. We can think about his conception. We can think about his birth. We can think about his life. We can think about his death. We can think about his resurrection. We can think about his ascension and his promise to come again. And then we realize that we're dealing with the Lord Almighty. He's conquered the most widespread disease there is in this world. I've spoken about a man who's helping medically. Jesus has conquered the sin of the world through his death and his resurrection and its consequences if we but acknowledge him. Lord God Almighty, over all creation, over us, how do we feel about that? Well, it sounds too good to be true, in one sense. But what is it like when it's not going well? It's fine when it's going all right, but what about if you had a relative on that plane? Or if you had someone who was suddenly taken ill? Or you were suddenly in financial trouble of some sort? Or you were being persecuted, as we've mentioned tonight, when things aren't going so well? And if you look at the book of Job again, you'll see that he still refers to God, the Lord Almighty. And so, do we put our trust in God Almighty when things are going well, or do we put our trust in him full stop and even acknowledge when things aren't quite so good that he's still Lord God Almighty? And that's the question for me. It's fine when it's going well and you see an answer to prayer and things are going well and your family are okay and everything in a one sense is rosy. And yet, if he's Lord God Almighty, he's Lord God Almighty when things are not going so well as well. He doesn't change his character simply because of circumstances. We live in a very friendly road. Some of you have met some of the folks there. And another event took place in our road last night. It was the first time that we were able to go to it. Other folks have been to it before. A safari supper. Are you involved? Do you know about safari suppers? I didn't know about safari suppers. Well, there's probably about 30 people who live in our road, and I think 24 took part. And one lady organized it so that half a dozen had a starter in this house, and half a dozen had a starter in that house, and half a dozen had a starter somewhere else, and then mixed them up. And people had a main course in another house, and then we had a pudding somewhere else, and we all ended up at the big house across the road from us in Vicky and Dave's. But one of those participants was a lady who had to spend all day in bed that day in order that she could have enough energy to participate in the evening. 9 replacement joints, currently a broken arm, and concern about whether her chest is collapsing and whether her shoulders are going to stay in place. We helped her on one occasion. Other people helped her on different occasions. She was so determined to go. She has trouble getting up steps of about 6 inches, and you aid her in that, and you can hear her bones crunching as she's doing that. And apparently that was a medical error that caused all this many, many, many years ago. Does she moan about it? Does she still believe in the Lord God Almighty? She does. No trouble there at all. She might have a bad day now and again. Hey, we can allow her that, can't we? But she still believes in the Lord God Almighty. So whether it's good times or whether it's bad times, if the Lord God is Almighty, he is Almighty, full stop. Whatever the circumstances we might face. And you know the story of Naomi and Ruth and how Naomi lost a family and Ruth eventually married Boaz, and the line became the line of Jesus, the family of Jesus. Even though at one time she thought her life was very bitter, it ended up becoming in the line of Jesus. I wonder if she knew the Lord God Almighty at that stage. So even when things are rough, we need to be aware that if he's God Almighty, he's God Almighty in the rough times as well as the good times. You may have heard of this. You've probably heard of this book. There's Fox's Book of Martyrs, which goes back in history. This is a book about modern saints and martyrs and talks about the many people who've suffered over the years for persecution in one way or another. I might get in trouble reading this, because I do sometimes. Maximilian Kolbe. Have you heard of Maximilian Kolbe? Familiar name. He was a Polish priest who died as a prisoner, and they give his number in Auschwitz in 1941. He was arrested in 1941 by the Gestapo. Yes, in the Second World War, for sheltering refugees, including 2,000 Jews, in the monastery he had founded near Warsaw. On the 25th of May, he was transferred from local prison to Auschwitz. When a fellow prisoner escaped from the bunker they shared, the Nazis selected 10 other people to be killed by starvation in reprisal for the alleged escape of the escapee. He was later found drowned. One of the 10 selected to die was a gentleman whose name I got a job to pronounce, Francesco Jaukowicz. And he began to cry, "My wife, my children, I will never see them again." At this, Maximilian Kolbe stepped forward and asked to die in his place. His request was granted. Kolbe and three of the others survived 2 weeks' starvation. They were then executed by lethal injection. Kolbe was canonized by the Pope in 1982 in the presence of the man whose life he'd saved. I think he knew that God was almighty. Even though circumstances weren't that special, he knew that God was almighty. How would you and I react to that? We probably don't know until we're in that situation. But if God is almighty, that's the sort of thing that he can bring about. Alec Mateer writes, "God is at his best when we are at our worst." God is at his best when we are at our worst. Crucifying Jesus, probably at our worst. But God was at his best in that he took that crucifixion and he raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God took Jesus and raised him from the dead and took our sin and punishment so that we could live an abundant life free of the guilt of sin. How do we respond when things aren't going well? They don't always go well. They won't always go well. We will have our moments. But how will we react when things are bad? That book is full of people who've gone through bad times. Some have not come out the other end. It's happening in this world all over the place, as we know. Maximilian Kolbe is one of many who knew that God was almighty, and he stepped forward to allow someone else to have life. He trusted in God Almighty. And we read, as we read right at the beginning, about that psalm. "Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory." I'm past the stage of New Year's resolutions. I don't know whether anybody does that these days. But if I would encourage you throughout the year, whatever it might happen, whatever might come your way, to remember Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, whatever your circumstances, he is still Lord God Almighty. We will have good times and we will have bad times, but the Lord is still the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And what should our response to that be? Well, I looked at a few songs and I thought this one was as good as any. Number 990. If we could sing that one, that would be really good. I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. We pray that our hearts would know you as Almighty God, even in dark times. But we thank you also that you promise abundant life. And we pray that we might know that through the power of Jesus. Amen.